Hello, and welcome to Surrender Soul Chats and Guided Meditations, Season 2, 1111, which is all about new beginnings. I am your host, Frandasia Williams. Those who know my soul call me Franny, and I'm the owner and founder of Guided Surrender, which is a lifestyle and wellness company that is based in releasing resistance, fear-based resistance that keeps us and blocks us from our manifestations, our spiritual, mental, and physical healing. So if you are on a healing journey, you're in the right place. This is a home for healing, and we are so happy to have you here. And this is my co-host, who I'll let introduce herself.
Hello, Queens. My name is Nicola Boothier. I am the founder of Female Makers. Please feel free to follow my journey for a collective of female entrepreneurs and micro female creators at femalemakers.org.
And enjoy this episode.
I know a lot has changed for me since the start of this season, 1111. A lot has changed, but I want you to go first. So we're going to talk today about how quickly things can shift, because you can be in a certain energy and then 30 days later have shifted into a new energy. You can go from one dimension to the next within days, within months, within a year. And so when we started this podcast, we decided we were going to start it on 1111, 1111, which is the angel number for new beginnings, right? And ever since Nicole and I made that decision, stuff has been popping off.
Popping off.
Nicole's shift started much sooner than mine. And well, I mean, we were both shifting at the same time, but shifting in different ways. I think yours was the most drastic, and yours happened so soon in the year that we didn't really get to cover it.
It happened actually during.
Yeah.
Obviously we see the transition, right? We see where it happens from one episode to another episode. I don't know if anybody else caught the transition. If you know me, you might've. If you don't know me, probably maybe not. But a lot has happened since November of 2021. And let me just do a little preliminary message when I say this. Me and Franny look very different today than we normally would look on any other episode. And I'll tell you why. Let's just address it first. Okay. There is not enough hours in the day. Okay. Let's start there. A. B. I will let Franny confirm if this is accurate, but I have never been in a place in my life where I have ever worked so hard. And by that, I don't mean I wasn't a hard worker before. I mean, I am truly maximizing every sliver of time daily. And this is the result. So very proud of us. It doesn't always look pretty. Not saying that we don't. I'm just saying, you don't always have the time to do the little extra stuff, but just know that you don't always have to be put together to like get your stuff done. So let's just start there. That's just the little message. So second, going into the transition, it has been a whirlwind. And when we started 1111, we had different intentions. You know, it was, for me, at least when we would talk about 1111, it was transitioning into this like higher level of ourselves, right? We knew the year was coming up. We definitely had like a lot of goals that we were projectually looking to achieve. And then life hit you and goes, just kidding. And you're sitting there and you're either staring at your glass half empty or looking at it as half full. And I had a huge personal change in my life that I just decided that it needed to be an adjustment. And basically what that was I decided to step away from a relationship that was no longer serving both parties. That wasn't by choice on my end, but once that decision had been made, it definitely was something that I continued to choose every single day after that. That on its own, especially, I'm sure there's plenty of people listening that have been through breakups. This one was like a particularly special one due to history, due to the long term. I was with this partner for 8 years on and off. So it was a huge adjustment. When Franny, because we are really good friends, found out, she was like shocked. And my whole life completely flipped around, and I'm in a completely different space than I was back in November. So in November, you know, basically the breakup happened. And from that moment on, every decision I made came from that. And it was basically me relearning how to completely choose myself all over again. When you're with somebody and you're committed, there are so many times and points that you step away and you choose that person over yourself, right? You're compromising, you're making it work, you're doing it for the betterment of basically the relationship, right? You're trying to find, how am I going to make this work? What am I going to do? What do I need to do? And the second those responsibilities are lifted from you, two things happen in the views of women. And please comment below after this if there's another one I'm missing. One of them is, oh, I'm going to do whatever I want. It's a very powerful to other people in the world, like bitter type of energy. It can come off very like aggressive. And a lot of times other people will project how they think you're dealing with things. Like, oh, look at her. She's just being real selfish and she's being real this. And it's like this persona, because God forbid a woman like just wants to be a little more aggressive than she was previously, or is a little more abrupt with her presentation. It's like, oh, she's doing too much, right? It's either that, or it's a complete silence where you're not really letting and telling anybody your moves, right? You're moving in silence, building your own little empire on the side and letting everybody else have their own opinions about what that is for you. For me, I struggled a lot with that. Franny guided me through that a lot, still currently is. And I can strongly say, like 5 months later, every decision I made to get to the place that I am now is all because of that one decision that one person decided, that then changed how I felt about the direction I was going. And just to kind of sum up a very long story, I am making the most money I've ever made. I am going back to a place that feels very safe and supportive. I have grown my network of like my strong women loving and guiding me so strongly. I didn't even realize before this that had happened, I was already building that. I was already building a huge circle around me, and I was nourishing those people around me. So when it came time for me to lean on those people, it wasn't even a question. It wasn't even an ask. It wasn't even, hey, let me know if you need anything. It was, here's what you need, and giving me what I didn't even ask for. And when you get into those places with women and you can turn to someone, like I can turn to Franny, I don't even have to say anything, and she just picks up where I left off. That, I dreamed about that. I remember years ago, I would dream about being surrounded by such powerful, strong women and them just really like investing in themselves. So it makes you invest in yourself, and we're just like watching each other blossom and just like take over everything. And it's so beautiful when that's happening. That happened to just be happening at the same time that this really hardship for myself was happening. So it ended up balancing it and really helping me focus on the direction I was moving. And then during that time, we're also doing 11/11. So New Beginnings was like it happened before we even thought of the idea, before me and Fran even talked about it, before we even said a name. The universe was like, this is going to happen. And then we came here. And then we both started transitioning at the same time. It was so beautiful. And I'm so grateful that we have this forever. We can always go back to this and like look back at everything we've done. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, I'm so proud of you. And it was the part that people don't see is like, when we do this podcast
and we're keeping things pretty regular and consistent for all of you. Our lives are anything but that. And
right.
So to be watching the playback of where we were to where we are, and, you know, seeing, like, I was very much so watching Nicole's shifts, and she's very much so watching my shifts. And it was painful this season, which is what you don't see through our videos or through the podcast, through the recording. It's what you don't see about people's lives, and which is the pain and the ups and the downs and the trials and the good days and the bad days. And you don't see, like, what happens behind that episode. And so, I mean, we recorded one episode and your life was one way, and then the next episode your life was completely different.
Completely different. Yeah. Weeks had weeks went
between, yeah,
between that. There's time, you know, if you guys go back and you see when we had posted, there was gaps between posts. We were very smart in the beginning before the transition had happened, and we had, luckily Franny and I could clearly talk for days, so we had a lot of content that kind of filled those moments. But the transition that Franny's talking about, I just wanted to highlight on that two things. I would be in such a different place without Franny's support and love, and, like, just what she carries, like, naturally, that wouldn't be where I would be today without that. So that's first. Second, it's just so funny how life works out and how, you know, you're on your path that you're supposed to be on, because things like this, for instance, will pop up. I'm sure there's been times where everybody has reflected back, that's so crazy, like, I can't believe we made it through that. And you think back to whatever those hardships are, right? It's not crazy, because it was actually supposed to happen, because it got you to this other phase and this other phase that really meant to get you to this phase, right? You had to jump here, here, and here to get there. Without those other three jumps, you wouldn't have gotten there. And I feel like right now we have been jumping for so long. We're still jumping right now. And it's so beautiful. And it's so funny, because me and Franny laugh about it all the time. Months ago, I would even strongly say before 11/11, we were, like, begging, like, our guides, our universe, our God, our ancestor, please, I just want to be so busy. I want to have so much going on that I'm so busy, and that I'm just, my whole day is filled. Queens, it is filled. Okay. Let me tell you, it is a filled for us. Look at us. It's filled. Okay. You see it? We're filled right now. And there's still more coming. There's still more abundance and opportunities coming. And we are just like, we're here. We're here. We need naps. We need food, but we're here and we're doing it.
We're doing it. We're doing it. And you're, you know, when you're in the midst of your transition and you can feel what's ahead, but you may not necessarily have it materialized in your physical life yet. That's why I always say, and I've said it in this podcast multiple times, spiritual time is way ahead of physical time. So, like, your angels, your guides, your ancestors, all that, they've already seen the transition that you're begging for. And so you're down here like, when's it going to happen? And they're like, it's already happening. And you're like, no, it's not. And then the next day your life can shift. And so that's why it's really important to be present with yourself in the moment and to take those breaths while you have them in the moment, because tomorrow things could be different. And in the situation with 11/11, we definitely did not, we were manifesting a lot, and Nicole and I manifest together very frequently. We tell each other what we're both going after. We talk about it actively. We write about it. We discuss how we're feeling about our manifestations. We're really big on being a part of each other's process. So we had taken this year of just, like, well, that until we did our first recording. So I'm going to say, like, 8 to 10 months of just processing. And we were like, we're going to fuel it and, you know, do this podcast. And all that we were manifesting started to show up while we were, you know, filming this podcast. But the thing about it was, it all came pretty much all at once. Like, it started to come full
circle. And it was like, it's almost like a panic moment too. Yeah. Right? It's like all this stuff starts coming in. You start overanalyzing. You're like, well, how am I going to have time to do this? And
am I ready? Yeah.
And me and Franny are very opposite in that way. I panic prior. Franny doesn't do that. what happens is give her like a week into the this new whatever, and that week live she's panicking.
Yeah.
And by the time it comes to surface for me, I'm already like, okay, I'm good. And Franny's like, what's happening? I have to like transition my schedule. And you have to move, you have to be fluid with yourself for these things to come in. And me and Franny, we do that at different times, which is really helpful because usually the other person's like more logical in that moment and can support the panic.
Definitely. That has been super supportive, having each other at different parts of this journey. And because we are opposites, as we've talked about through this entire season, we handle things differently in different moments. So in the moments where I was chaotic and just like out of control and kind of losing my breath, Nicole was grounded and was like, oh, you're good. You got this. And this and vice versa. So I also think, you know, just as much as we've been shifting, we noticed that we've also been supported and prepared for every single portion of the shifts. And it's stuff that we had to look back on and be like, oh, so the universe gave me this ahead of schedule because they saw this coming. And I didn't know that was happening. I didn't know that's why I was experiencing what I experienced. But it was like the universe knew that we were going to come to this place where we were going to need a little extra support, a little extra TLC, a little extra love, extra finances. And all these things were just coming into place like the perfect little rainbow or infinity symbol for us to be able to be supported, because you're not going to receive anything that you're truly not ready for. So if you're manifesting, it's not happening. Are you ready for it? Do you really want it? Do you really desire it?
And also, how are you speaking there? You know, when you're manifesting it, like right now, if I manifest something and then later on I go, well, it's not going to work out. And I'm telling a conversation to somebody and I'm speaking negatively on it, it's just like, well, you just crossed out all of that time of manifesting because you're
right.
I'm too fearful to take this right now and I don't want it and it's not going to come, you know.
I don't trust you.
Right. And obviously we are a product of our own deter, right? Like most of the time we'll bring something up and then we get really fearful when we get it. That is a very human response to anything. What we are really bad at is trusting our own selves that we have the ability to do absolutely any single thing that we want to in this entire world. It does not matter how large your dream is, no matter how big and clear your vision is. And one thing that I've learned years ago, and I actually learned it when I was with my, you know, my partner previously, is your vision will always be your own. Your success will always be your own. There are people that will support you and love you and help you through that. But when I say that is a lot of times we will speak on our visions so clearly to somebody and they won't understand. And their response will seem offensive to us because it's like, well, why are you questioning me? Like, what don't you get? And that's when we need to take a little like piece of humble pie. You don't need to explain every little move and navigation or even execution to everybody. And not everybody's going to understand. You don't have to exhaust yourself trying to explain it.
Yeah.
Just know your limitations and boundaries with people and then just go execute what you're planning on executing anyways. It is your life at the end of the day.
That's huge. I think that's been my new beginning and the biggest shifts that I had. I was actually at lunch with a friend today and I said, that's what I'm learning now, is to be okay with being misunderstood, with people not getting it, with people not understanding why you are showing up differently or why you may be acting in a different way, but they don't need to. They don't have to understand, or you don't have to justify your actions to other people. It's what feels good to you. It's what allows.
And that could even be a response too, depending on what the relationship with that person is. It's like, well, that's what's feeling good to me right now. That's not everything has to make sense.
Yeah.
Like when you go drive and you go get Taco Bell and you don't like Taco Bell, but today you want a Taco Bell.
That's it.
Like, why did you get because it just felt right.
That's what I wanted. That's where I'm at.
I showed up. I asked for the Mexican pizza. They still don't have it. And it's really annoying. Like I had to get something else. We'll talk about that later. Like, I don't even, whatever. It's fine. I don't even know why they took the Mexican pizza.
That's very true.
Everything else back with the Mexican pizza. It's fine. Comment below if you like the Mexican pizza. That's all I have to say.
credit.
You wouldn't like it. For anyone to like it, but the people that would, talk about it. Okay.
Got it. Yeah. I mean, for me, the shifts have been very much so more emotional. And whereas Nicole was going through this like emotional release of attachments, like she was learning to release her attachments to her emotions, and the things that she thought were triggering her attachments weren't actually it. And so she had to dive deeper and be like, dang, like I'm going through this, I'm going through that. That's what this is really about. It was never about so-and-so, it's about me.
That one still gives me chills, like, cause I'm still learning and understanding those things about myself is how I attach to certain things. And sometimes this is a good example. Think of it like a child, okay? Like when a toddler or a baby, okay, 1, 2, 3 years old hits their knee or stubs their toe or gets an owie, right? Most of the time, adults that have been around children a lot won't necessarily be super responsive right away. The reason that is because they want to see if the child is really hurt or not. Because the second you go, oh my God, are you okay? What happened? The child starts crying because you're showing the child like something's the matter, right? They don't know how to self-soothe something. That applies with your emotions and traumas and triggers as well. For me, there would be a lot of surface stuff that would be happening. And I would think that that's what I would be really upset about, right? I would be so attached to that because it's such an obvious choice. Like when you're a human, you're like, oh, well, I'm clearly upset because I've ended a relationship that I've been with and this person, and this is the person I thought I was going to be with, right? That's just the go-to. It's such the easiest way. But when you dive a little bit deeper, and you kind of really start sorting through those feelings, and you talk to someone specifically like Franny, who has this ability to ask you questions, doesn't want an answer coming from her. She wants you to give your answer. You start really taking the puzzle pieces and you start putting it together, and you realize like, I'm upset about that, but I'm not really truly upset about that. That it's deeper. It's triggering some kind of trauma that I still carry with myself. It's attached to something else completely. That's when the work really comes in, because then you're like, then it starts opening doors to like, how many times have I been doing this to myself, thinking that it's this surface thing and it's really me. It's really something that I haven't healed from. And that is huge. Versus Franny, because me and Franny heal, it's so interesting. Our lives are like parallel. They literally are like two roads going next to each other at the same time, at the same speed. And it's literally just in two opposite worlds, like truly, but very similar. And our reactions are always the opposite of each other. So whatever she's going through, it's usually the opposite that I'm going through, but in the same volume of how much we have to kind of decipher through.
Yeah, that's in the parallelism, like we're in it together, but it looks different for both of us.
Absolutely.
And in a lot of situations, we found that we're experiencing similar emotions, but for two completely different reasons, and how we handle our emotions is completely different. I think that's the shift that I want to talk about for myself, is just honoring my emotions more and allowing myself to be more vulnerable and transparent and authentic in how I show up for myself and with others. So I had become really good at, you know, always being in a position to give support, but I hadn't really ever allowed myself to be supported. And it was this block.
And ask for it. You would never ask.
I would never ask. And I didn't want to be in expectation of others showing up for me with the fear of being disappointed that they wouldn't. And I learned that that came from having this deep resentment almost, and this deep pain, I'll call it. It's more of a pain than for me than it was a resentment, where I started looking around in a lot of relationships that I was fostering in my life And I was like, whoa, I don't feel like anyone else is fostering that but me. I feel like I'm consistently overgiving and I'm consistently showing up and I'm consistently clearing my schedule for this person or going out of my way for this person, but I don't exactly feel like it's being returned. And so that called me to take a moment and be like, okay, well, who do you feel poured into by? Like, who do you feel like you have this equal distribution of love with? Because if you are noticing that you are always one who's giving more, it's not the other person's job to then match that. It's your job to evaluate why you're doing that and then adjust your behavior. So I had to look at myself in the mirror and be like, yo, like, what is this about? Because that person never had the capacity to love you back like that. So why?
And also you never gave them the opportunity to, because you never voiced that level, right? You never said, hey, I want you to do this more. And we're just staring at people like, okay, why aren't you loving me and supporting me the way that I'm loving and supporting you?
Like, hello, do you see me? And they're like, yeah, I see you, but what do you need? What are you saying? And I didn't, you know, that was another thing of just realizing that a lot of what I thought was being understood about what I need wasn't, that I wasn't vocalizing my needs in an apparent way where people could understand it. And that there were certain situations where I was in expectation of my needs to be met by people who did not have the capacity to love me that way. Mm-hmm. And Nicole and I talk about this because this was some parallelism we saw in both of our situations. We were both in attachments with relationships where the other person didn't have the capacity to love us the way that we deserved or desired to be loved, where the way that we desire to be loved felt overly exerting for that other person, or they feel like they didn't have that available to give. And so we were faced with the decision of like, oh, do I accept less or do I release this connection? Because you're saying to me, I will love you, but I'm only going to give you X, Y, and Z. When I'm like, but I'm pouring the whole alphabet into you. And that person's like, you can either take X, Y, Z, or, and in so many cases, I think we both chose X, Y, Z because of the attachment, because of the comfort of having people in our surround. For her, it was a romantic relationship. For me, it was more personal relationships. They weren't romantic relationships. And you have to be aware that you can be having these experiences inside of romantic relationships and outside friendship, familial, work relationships. This applies across the board. And so we realized collectively that the way that we deserve to be loved and how we show each other love, how me and Nicole show each other love in general, we were like, oh, you mean, so basically we were showing each other that what we desire is available. Someone will love me like this. Someone wants to love me like this. Loving me like this is not hard because someone does it every day.
And it's so easy. It's easy for somebody.
Yes, it's easy to love her this way. It's easy to be there for her the way that she desires to be there. It's easy to expect what she needs from me, what she needs to hear, what she needs when she needs me to hold her virtually, and when she needs me to be like, okay, so we're mad. Like,
that is our favorite saying this year is like, oh, so we want to be mad. Franny said that to me once and it has stuck with me and I'm like, yes. And now I'm like, yes, I want to be mad. So
yeah,
right. I want to be, and let us be mad. And you know what? There was one point that you said, and I just wanted to highlight a little bit more, is you said desired and deserved to be loved. That those two things alone are so big. And the reason I say that is, as women, we naturally have this way that's instilled in us over years, generational years of how we're like perceived and carried and viewed in the world, right? And we have to tell ourselves that we deserve to be loved a certain way. That's not the case. It's not about deserving means that you've done something to get that. You don't need to do shit to get that. Okay, let's start there. Yeah. It's a desire. I have a desire to be loved this way. Now it's your other person's job, whoever you're with, to say that to you as well. I desire to be loved in this way.
Right.
And it takes so much work, but sometimes when you're in any kind of relationship, romantic, personal, family, whatever, it takes work from both those people. Not just on communicating with each other, but you get so consumed in your relationships, you forget a lot about the self-work. There's a ton of self-work that affects how you communicate to that person, how you desire to be loved, right? And that could be years of doing that, of damage that you're creating. And now you go, now one day you wake up and you see it different. You have a different perception. And maybe you bring it up, maybe you don't, whatever the circumstance is, right? And then you're like, you're kind of mad and confused that like, maybe this person ain't on the same. It's like, girl, just because you had a woke up today and you had a realization doesn't mean that their world stopped and they see what you're seeing. You know, we have to be able to be willing to take demand and ask for what we want, but also communicate that effectively as we can. And it's not always going to work in our favor.
Right.
It's not always going to like, oh, well, you communicated. So here's this. And
right.
And that's not always going to be the case.
That's super important that we know. And that was a big discovery. And I think that has been a big part of my growth and shifting too. So it's like, you can accept. So here's the thing. When we are in the process of receiving love, the other person shows you through their actions, not just their words, words plus actions, how they have experience love and how they desire to continue to experience love and how they have the ability to love you. They show you that all on their own. It's your job to then just evaluate that and be like, do I accept it? Because just because that person is saying that that's what they have available doesn't mean you have to accept it. You can wish them well. Hey, you're great. And I know that there is someone who accepts that form of love. It's just not me. It's no different than when you go to certain companies and they only accept certain credit cards. They don't have to accept them all. They choose to.
And when you shop at different stores and you shop here, you shop at Whole Foods and I shop at Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
It's just, often, it's literally making a choice.
A choice. Yeah. And so you can make a choice to say to someone, I get that that's all that you have available. I just don't accept it. And I didn't know that for the majority of the time that I've been an observer of love or an experiencer of love. I always just was like, oh, well, that's what they have available. I guess that's what I'll, you know, that's what it is.
So understanding. That goes back to the understanding, right? Sometimes we can be so understanding, and Franny and I've experienced this parallelly, like so understanding that it becomes abusive to you.
Yeah.
Because now your understanding prioritizes Nicole and Franny's boundaries. That's where you have to balance that. Like, yeah, you can be an understanding person. You can literally wish the world for that person, but what is the boundary that's protecting you?
Right.
And then when you express that boundary again, you don't need to always like just go to war over trying to explain why you need to have that boundary. There needs to be no explanation. It could be your boundary could be, I want to just get an ear piercing every Sunday. And they're like, aren't you going to run out of space on your, who cares? It's your life. Right. And that's where that prioritization comes into play. You can be a very understanding person. You can see the most cruel person in the world and be like, well, you know, they were brought up in a very terrible environment and I can understand how they got there, but is it becoming abusive to your own boundaries and your own well-being? Yeah, but yeah, the only way to even get there is to understand what your boundaries and your well-being is. And I didn't know what mine was for so long. I had an idea, but I really truly didn't know. And when you spend a majority of your life investing in the people around you, and then all of a sudden you go, okay, I'm going to put all of that energy into myself, your whole world completely shifts. There's a huge shift. And that's what has been happening to Franny and myself the last 5 months, is we've really truly allowed our support work for us. If somebody really supports you, somebody really cares for you, it doesn't matter if you talk to them every day. It doesn't matter if you talk to them every 6 months. It doesn't matter if you were doing what you did 3 months ago, but you're not doing it anymore. That person is still there is still supporting and loving you, right?
Yeah.
Let the world around you, and you'll really find out who your people are, who your warriors are in your life. Put some time in investing in yourself as a queen and see how much the queens around you applaud for you and praise you and give you more. Like, take it away a little bit. Take some time away and put it back into yourself and see how much your life truly starts unfolding. Even do it for a week and see what really happens in that time frame.
Pull back. I agree. And you can continue to love people without overgiving. You don't have to overgive to receive love. You don't have to overexplain to receive love, to be understood in love. You don't have to make yourself more available than you have space to be. So for instance, if you're processing something and you need to do that privately, okay. And I think that was something that I struggled with and I've been working through is like, you know, not wanting anyone to be offended, but then at the same time, I can't help that. It's not in my control if you're offended by my need to take care of myself. And sometimes a good friend of mine, she said this to me once upon a time, and she was like, sometimes people need to miss you, not because of you, but because what happens to their spiritual growth when you're not in the picture. Sometimes being absent from someone's life allows them to grow more than having you in it. And it doesn't have to be forever. It can be, some of these are just breaks. And then sometimes it is a permanent energy. It just depends on the relationship or
also what it is. See how you do when you pull away too. Your natural instinct when you're pulling away from anything or anybody is when you have that crave, right? Like a moment happens and you're like, oh, I miss this person, or oh, I want to reach out. Starve that craving.
Yeah.
Just do it a couple of times. You don't have to do it every single time, but do it a couple of times. And the reason I say that is you'll really pay attention to your response after you get through that craving. Just like if you're on a diet, right? And maybe your like weakness is, we'll say chocolate, right? Because it's easy. Your weakness is chocolate. And you go, I'm really going to limit myself to only having chocolate on Sundays. Let's just say that. Well, actually, we don't like Sundays. She doesn't like Sundays. We'll pick a different name. Wednesdays. Okay. It's an inside joke. You'll figure it out later. Wednesdays. And it's now Monday. And you're like, oh, I really would love chocolate right now. And you're like, no, don't have it. And then you're like, okay, don't. Tuesday comes. You're like, really want chocolate. Keep telling yourself. But if you wait till tomorrow, you'll get chocolate, right? Wednesday comes. You've now starved yourself Monday, Tuesday. You're like, I don't even kind of really want it anymore. And the whole point of why I'm saying that is see how you respond when you separate yourself, the growth that comes to you when you're separating and giving yourself the time. Nothing is more fearful, I think, in the world than human beings feeling alone and feeling like they aren't loved.
Right.
Those two things are huge.
The
thing about that is like we attach that to such a cookie cutter idea of what that looks like, right? Due to culture and society and how love is supposed to look. The thing is like love comes in so many different forms. There's so many different taps where you can get love from yourself, from your friends, from, it doesn't have to look just the way that we pictured it when we were 6 years old.
Right.
And sometimes we get so attached to that idea. It's hard for us to step out of those comfortable relationships, even if we're sacrificing our own boundaries and we're not truly getting what we want from it because we're comfortable and we don't want to be that six-year-old that's alone, that's not loved.
Yeah. And sometimes you're just afraid to make a new choice because we get overly attached to our choices.
We get very habitual.
I made that choice and I got to see it through. I got to see it through, my boy. That's not true. You don't. You can change your mind. You can make a decision today and then change your mind tomorrow.
Thank you. You can change your mind.
There's no universal law that says that you have to keep doing anything. And it's like, that's a lie we were sold that, well, you got to stick by your word. Yeah, I hear you. And then sometimes things change and your word changes and circumstances change. And So sometimes things don't come through. Sometimes things get moved back. Sometimes things get reversed.
Girl, they always get moved back. Okay, let's start there. They always, you lucky if all this stuff works out to how you wanted it to work out.
And I'm going to tell you, the best things that have happened to me did not work out.
Thank you. I was just going to say the same thing.
Yeah, they didn't. And I think just to add to Nicole's point, the other part of it is being mindful when you start craving people, what you're really craving. Are you craving that person, or are you craving the way that they make you feel?
Or are you even just craving habits? Is it just, yeah. Is it just a, you, every Tuesday you used to call your aunt at 2 p.m. every Tuesday, but you know how toxic she is. And you know that you always end up in an argument with her, and you're just like, well, it's Tuesday and it's 2. It's just like, okay, you don't need to call her. It's okay.
Do something else. Start a new habit, a more supportive one. You can start new habits too. Our healing and our shifting is completely contingent on what we are willing to change in our habits. It's about making new habits. You have supportive habits and you have unsupportive habits. And if you're clinging to the unsupportive ones, you won't ever be able to build the supportive ones. And we only manifest and create the actual transformations that we desire in our life by building supportive habits. Habits are built over time. It doesn't have to be instant, but it's like, stop that one thing that you know isn't supportive. Can you take that out of your regimen? Can you take that out of today's schedule? Not to text that person when you get sad, just because you're used to having that person to talk to. Go text yourself, go write a new journal. Or you have a friend who wants to talk to you that isn't toxic, or someone in your life who isn't toxic and who wants to be there for you that you aren't even seeing because you're attached to something that isn't serving you.
And you, and so, I was going to say that, you know, the thing that Franny taught me the most about creating new habits and healing is like, let's be super 100. That gets boring. Okay. You'd be like, you're so excited. Like, I got a new journal. I'm going to do this. And you have like, whatever your list is, right? You have this list. You're going to go after it. You do it for a week. Cool. You do it for 2 weeks. Cool. Third week, you're like, this, I'm over it. What, why am I doing it? When you get to that point, I encourage you all to just keep showing up for yourself. It's not even about the task. It's about proving to yourself that you're consistent every single day to show up for her. Are you showing up for her? Just like when you brush your teeth, you do your skincare, you take a shower, you're showing up to make sure that you're clean. Are you showing up to make sure you're clean inside? Because it's not fun. It's not a fun thing. Like in the beginning, it's fun because it's new, and maybe when you get like a little more advanced, it's like, oh, how cute. I remember when it was just such a task for me to wake up and meditate and journal every day. And now I'm doing something completely different. Are you showing up for her is really something that Franny super opened my eyes up to. It's about being consistent for yourself. It's not for anybody else. And it's not going to be fun a lot of the times.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be fun for it to be right for you. Absolutely. And honestly, like the stuff I'm going through right now, and I was telling someone this earlier, it's not fun. It's probably the most painful part of my healing journey that I've been. It's the one I've avoided the most, but I know it's the one that's also going to shift me and transform me the most. So I am willing. You do not have to be the most able. You just have to be willing. Even an ounce of willingness is enough to get started. The universe will support you through the rest. And just on a final note, there's nothing that beats free will. Other people show up the way they want to show up because of free will. And you might be thinking to yourself, but I've done everything right, but I'm this and I'm that. And why am I not receiving? Because it has absolutely nothing to do with you. It's someone else's free will. So enact your free will to choose to support you, to choose to change your habits, to choose to show up for you the way you desire to be showed up for. Do it for you, because that's the only person's actions you can actually control are your own. So the motto or the gist of this episode, show up for you. And that's how your shifts and transformations happen and are able to move through you and take you into the next plane of your life, of your exploration, is when you choose to get real crystal clear and focused on you. That's where it happens. That's your sweet spot. That's where the magic happens. And when you focus more on your own development, your own healing, your own support, you start to notice how everything reflects back to you the way that you actually want to see it, because you've put that energy out into the universe, into yourself. And you know, I think that's what I want to end with, is the caveat of it all is the universe sent me so many beautiful women to surround me during a time where I am confronting and having real deep, dark conversations about loneliness, about love, about how I receive love, about not being satisfied with the love that certain people have been providing me. And then I looked over my shoulder and there was this beautiful army of women that were like, we got you. Go ahead, fight back. Go ahead, say what you feel. We're here for you. And I couldn't be more grateful that the universe has built this beautiful support system for me, this love, this team, during the time when I am confronting my loneliness, my feelings of loneliness the most, is the period that I'm actually the most surrounded by people who actually do love me the way I deserve and desire to be loved. And that to me has been my biggest transformation and shift, because each of these women taught me a different thing about myself, what I deserve, what's already mine, who I am. And I couldn't feel better about myself and about the women who are in my life. Nicole taught me to be comfortable saying, I need a moment to talk. I'm not okay today. This is why I'm crying. This is why I'm upset. This is why I'm afraid. And it was so helpful for once to not be doing that alone. I had always just chosen to do it silently and alone. And I'm not anymore. Now I pick up the phone and someone's there with either a voice memo or a text message or a meme or a TikTok or something to show me love and support. And I can honestly think there were so many moments where I was having these habits return of just kind of going into a hole, and then a message would come through and it'd be like, Nicole. And it was like the universe knew at every turn, she is going to come to a place where this person is going to be exactly what she needs. Let's go ahead and bring that together. And I couldn't be more grateful for it. And like Nicole said, there's many women who I could name in this experience that have been that for me. And so I'm journeying the rest of this year through my feelings about love, shifting in my surround, but mainly pouring into myself unequivocally, and spending so much time just loving Franny. And I'm so excited about it. And I'm excited about all the opportunities and the new love and the love that will flourish already even more that I already have. So I hope that you're shifting, and that through this season that you are able to also evaluate and observe your new beginnings and the experiences in your life and the hurdles that you jumped over, and be an observer of you and your new beginnings. And we'd love to hear more about what changed for you since we started this, and any new experiences that you're having or new feelings about yourself, any new growth. We'd love for you to share that with us. We want to support you and be there for you. This was 11 episodes to honor 11 episodes. Sorry. This was 11 episodes to honor our season and the name of our podcast, 1111 New Beginnings. And it has gone by so fast. It's been a beautiful journey. And we leave you with love this season. We really do. And the love continues whether there's an episode or not. So continue to stay in contact with us. You have any final notes, my love?
The only note I have is just so grateful for the support. It's been such a journey. And as Franny was talking, I could feel myself feeling very emotional because there has been so much. And when you hear somebody kind of talking about that whole time frame, there's a lot. And as Franny has been in her search to be more boisterous with wanting support, I have been searching the opposite and self-soothing. Because it's so easy for me to be very boisterous. That's not an issue for me. That's very natural.
Opposites.
And all I say is, for those that are struggling with that, specifically women, trust yourself, even if you don't know what you don't have to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, me and Franny barely know what we're doing. And when I say barely, I mean barely. Okay. No, so
no idea.
Right. All I'm saying is just like Franny said, pouring into yourself. And we are just so grateful for everybody who has supported us through 1111. There is more beautiful things to come, exciting things that we will be unfolding. shortly that we are so excited to share with you all. And until then, please continue to follow our journeys and like comment below. We want to grow the support and the love amongst each other and just really embrace being women and everything that we do and how fluid we are. Girl, remember, you are water. You bring life to everything you touch. So do not forget.
We're also curious if you would like to see another season and what you would like to see in the next season. Questions, topics that you'd like to see us explore more. And we would love to have your feedback about how you enjoyed this season. It has been a labor of love. And I do want to say, we pointed out in the beginning that we are a bit tired and we've been working really hard. But we've been shifting. So, you know, energetically, we've been using a lot of energy for these new things and these new beginnings that are happening in our lives. I also just want to point out, even the moments where we're tired, we're grateful. Like, we wouldn't change it. We, you know, our finances have increased. Nicole is moving back to a place that she absolutely loves. She was able to manifest the place of her dreams, and she's going to be in a new energy in her career. She's going to be in a new energy in her own self as she explores this version of Nicole. She's never experienced herself in this way. She might be returning to a familiar place, but she's returning to a familiar place as a new person.
That's
a journey in itself. And I'm getting to know pieces of myself that I didn't even know existed.
She's collecting her keys.
I am.
Her keys, places, and she's going back and she's picking those keys up.
I am. I'm doing a lot of internal work right now, and also expanding in my business and expanding in my opportunities and how I show up. And so there are some places where I'm showing up a lot less, because there are other places where I'm showing up a lot more. And if you're anything like me, my human design is a projector. And so we run out of energy really quickly. So I have been evaluating where I'm spending my energy and deciding like what should stay with me during this phase and what should not, so that I can have the energy available to show up the way that I want to show up in the spaces that I want to be. And so I encourage you to do that same cleansing in your life. Make those decisions, because your transformation is dependent upon the decisions that you make. Your change, your healing is dependent upon what you will and will not do, which you are willing and not willing to change. And even though sometimes change can be hard, it can be painful, it can also be joyous. And there is a rainbow at the end of the storm, if you're in a storm. And we just want to send encouragement and inspiration to you as you journey and as you heal. You are on your way, and it is a lifetime. It's not finite. It keeps going. You're going to get through this phase. It's going to be access granted to the next one. But we prepared all last year to be where we are today. And we are ready. Otherwise, it wouldn't be here. Now we're just learning how to be here. We figured out how to be there.
Right.
Now we're figuring out how to be here. Now things are working. How do I manage all of this? All the things that are coming in. How do I manage them all? How do I enjoy them all? How do I still find space for me and for all the things that I love? We're creating room.
How do you become malleable for you? You spent your whole life being so flexible and available and malleable for everybody else. How malleable are you willing to be for yourself is really the question I want to leave everybody with, is how flexible are you willing to be? How fluid are you willing to be for you, for the betterment of yourself?
Yeah. And we are here for you as you do that. We want to hear about what that looks like for you too. And we thank you for being on this journey with us for 11 episodes, for new beginnings, for new chapters that we are writing, y'all. This is a beautiful year with beautiful energy for those who are willing and ready to accept it. Not all will shift, but those who are inclined and can feel the energy and who are willing to step up to it will shift. It's inevitable. Your success is inevitable. So we are celebrating your small wins and your big wins every step of the way. And with that, thank you for joining us for 11/11 New Beginnings. And we'll see you next season. Ciao.
Bye. Bye.